All right, this is I Hate the Finns. I think this is episode 22. I haven't even gotten episode 21 uploaded yet. Huge fail on my part, but I have a good excuse. I'm buying a house, which means I have to sell mine. So my life is an utter disaster right now. Try doing that with a 6-month-old. I dare you. I challenge you. So a little behind here, but the good news is we're keeping the machine, if you will, rolling. We're part of the Finnsider Radio podcast network. Finnsider Radio, my old show, is also on there. We've got plenty of other programs that air. Check them all out. They're all wonderful. We're one of them. My name is Keith. With my co-host Zach, spent his evening listening to Fleetwood Mac. One thing I do want to talk about, this is kind of a free form show. We were making the joke off air that this is like rebel radio for Dolphins fans. We'll just do whatever the hell we want tonight. We all know that Zach's favorite prospect in the draft is Dalton Risner. Zach, tell them what you did.
So I follow Dalton Risner on Twitter, and the other day he had a tweet about getting rid of, I guess, just household kind of crap that he had laying around. I guess he's probably moving out of Manhattan, Kansas there, and probably back towards wherever home is in Colorado, or just kind of getting things out so when April 25th, 26th happens, he can just scoot to wherever he's going. And so later on in the day, he posted a video of like cleats and shoes and stuff. And, you know, just for shits and giggles, I tweeted at him. I was like, hey, like, I'd buy a pair of those cleats. And later on, he DM'd me. Long story short, I have purchased Dalton Risner's combine cleats from him. So those will be added to the collection.
When do they arrive?
I don't know. He said he was going to send them out today. But I told him no rush because his April, I'm sure, is very hectic.
Of
I
course.
don't know if he has any 30 trips or whatever going on. So I said, whenever you get him out, man, you get him out, no rush.
We also made the joke this week that Zach blew an opportunity in that you should have leveraged it with, I'll buy those cleats. But if the Dolphins draft you, you have to come on the program.
If the Dolphins draft him, I will still give that a go, because he now follows me on Twitter for DM purposes. So if the Dolphins draft Dalton Risner, I will try to make a push for that still.
So you're saying there's a chance. That's
there's a
exciting. There's
chance.
a chance. Okay. And the we're gonna have to start doing some Google Hangouts too, so you can like all those people on ESPN with the headphones in when they're doing interviews. Remember when it used to be like a fancy thing and they would send cameras to someone's home, and now it's just like the little computer eye. They're sitting there
Yeah.
talking. You could be the guy in the background with, and then behind you is Dalton Risner's cleats.
Yeah, I mean that's like now that DJ is the new Mike Mayock, they hooked him up with one of those home camps and stuff, and he started doing stuff from home because he's been out on the road for all the pro day stuff, and he was all excited, but he's like, I don't have anything to put up here by besides App State stuff. That's like, oh, DJ, good try, good try. It's okay.
And then Duke tunes in.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a big App State guy from his background there.
Yeah, he's the App State guy. And it's also funny when you mispronounce it. He hates that. So if you're able to talk to him or whatever, just make sure you mispronounce the Appalachian State. So, freeform, whatever. Tomorrow's Friday. That's exciting. Has your board changed at all? Just with what's going on here, just because you're seeing things locked in, you're seeing Kyler Murray write it in permanent marker now. I've seen that on Twitter, and that's not a shock. Obviously, we all expected it.
My board has changed a little, and it's been mostly due to going back and putting second and third looks on guys. It hasn't changed catastrophically, and like this is the point of the year too where I go back and look at my board and I'm like, okay, this guy's here because I kind of got sucked into the media nonsense. You know, at one point I had DK Metcalf in my top 10. I now have him in my top 20. But like the dude's a physical specimen, physical freak, like runs a crazy 40 time, jumps out the building there. But the dude ran 9 routes. That's where he had his most success. So, like, if we're being honest, he's kind of tall Mike Wallace, which at the end of the day, like, if that's what you do really well and a team can fit you in and you can rack up 1,200 yards a year and 14 touchdowns being big Mike Wallace, that's fine. I just don't think at the end of the day that warrants a top 10 position on a big board or a grade like that. Other than that, there's been some swapping around of the edge players a little bit, and it's just become, as we move closer to draft and watch a little bit more, you know, kind of settling in on what my preference of guys is. And I don't think there was anybody else that was a real big mover up and down on my board. I'm scrolling through here. I think pretty much everyone else has kind of stayed put. I think this day two of this draft is going to be really great, for a bunch of positions. So I think there's a chance that while day one's always exciting and people always tune in the most for that, I think day two is going to be a really good opportunity for a lot of teams to pick up a lot of really good players at the end of the day.
I usually refer to rounds 2 and 3 as the money rounds. Cause I mean, technically, just because you draft a guy in the second round doesn't mean he's not first round talent, you know? So sometimes you're getting great value on the great bang for the buck, if you will. Regarding DK Metcalf too, if you really want to be a jag about it, you can offer possibility for a Kevin White comparison.
Yeah. I mean, I think DK Metcalf's injury this year was more of a freak kind of football injury thing, where Kevin White had a little bit of a history of injuries leading up to it. But I think if you're going to comp size-wise and athleticism, I think you're in the right ballpark there.
Yeah, skill set. I'm not even talking about the injuries. I just mean... Kevin White just mossed people at West Virginia. I mean, he was just bigger, faster, stronger than, and you know, every defensive back in his path. Yeah. But I mean, when you go to the NFL, that's... You gotta bring skill and savvy, some cleverness to the position. So, and I mean, I don't make light of anyone's injuries. His injuries have been extremely Kevin White, that is, have been extremely bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, for
in
sure.
That I think they're all bone related. I think the first year it was like a shin splint that turned into like a fracture.
Uh huh.
And then the second year it was a tibia or fibula. It was one of the two.
Yeah,
and then the third year is a collarbone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a reoccurring tissue kind of thing that you see in some guys.
No, it's not like he's got bad knees or anything.
No,
you know?
No.
And I mean, like, the thing with him is there is some upside to what he brings to the position. For one, he is a beastly blocker downfield.
Yep.
That's one thing I noticed with the Bears this year. I mean, like, he is just an absolute just... He's a puncher down there. Like, he just was putting dudes down. So that impressed me. I'm surprised Matt Nagy didn't try to go to that more, because he's typically looking for that from his dudes on the perimeter. We want guys who can block. Green Bay is a team that is always looking for guys who can block. That's why I wasn't surprised when they drafted Equanimeous St. Brown the last year, just because, I mean, you and I talked about him countless times leading up to the draft. Taller dude, almost 6'5", right?
Yep.
Like, he's a, you know, longer guy. Showed great speed at the combine, but just tape really up and down in terms of route running, in terms of hands, all the little nuances and skills at that position. But the one thing that jumped out on his tape at Notre Dame, like, he was just an A-plus blocker. So,
yeah, well, I mean, that's like at Notre Dame. I can't remember the last offensive player from Notre Dame that was a refined, well put together offensive player outside of Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey. But even at that point, they just said, yeah, just go block somebody. I mean, cops don't know how to play football.
Oh, I was going to be a smartass and bring up Michael Floyd. Just be like, how dare you? So, yeah, it's true. I mean, well, the closest we're talking about, especially a receiver slash back position, probably Golden Tate, I'd say.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
And oh, I mean, you're talking about that was 2010 when he was drafted. So,
yeah. Speaking of Notre Dame guys, that I might be a little low on Jerry Tillery. I have him top 64. So it's not the lowest you could be. I think he's definitely a second round kind of player. But he's a guy that it wouldn't shock me if somebody's looking for a guy that gives you a little oomph up the middle on pass rushing downs, to go potentially in the late one. But like, I just don't like guys that can't play against a run. You know, I have a preference for defensive linemen that can do both. And if anything, I lean more towards guys that can play the run than that are outstanding pass rushers.
Yeah, he's got the potential to be a wrecker. And I feel like most years, he's so a dude Pittsburgh would draft. I see him as their guy on the defensive line. So, I mean, Jerry Tillery is, I liked him. I thought at times his tape was really good this year. And I mean, like, he was a difference maker for that Irish defense.
If Tillery came out in 2008, he's a top 16 pick. Like, in the day and age that 34 defenses were viable primary base defenses, he's a guy that's a five tech on an odd front every day of the week. But
yeah, we probably draft him instead of Philip Merlin.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day there, but at this point, you see maybe some three fronts in like a weird 3-3-5. But I mean, how often do you see a base 34 defense at this point? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, everything is hybrid. There's little flares and window dressing with pretty much every defense now. And I mean, like, that's just where the game is right now. I mean, because offenses have evolved too. I mean, so much work is done from the slot position now. I mean, it used to be like that guy was like your third option, and then they realized that you get these guys in there who have great change of direction skills, and they're just a problem inside, you know, and they're typically very gritty, a little bit smaller, so they have a smaller smaller target in terms of how you're able to jam them at the line of scrimmage. And I mean, from there, if you're able to beat that jam, then I mean, it's open season on that defense. I mean, the possibilities are endless. So it all starts there. So yeah, you're seeing defenses play some catch up now. Used to be like, I mean, occasionally you see a defense go to like a nickel look, you know? I remember like when Madden, like you had to go so far just to find like the dime packages.
Four like receivers, what is this?
Yeah, you pretty much had to unlock a code just to get into like the dime packages in that game at one point. And now, I mean, like, that's just standard fare for your NFL defenses.
I mean, this is the first year for Madden that they edited that big nickel package with like the safety up as the linebacker. And it's like the NFL's been doing that for like 5 years now. Like ever since Buchanan or whatever was drafted. Mark Barron, Daewon Buchanan and Mark Barron, like ever since those guys came in, and like, I mean, that's me spending $60 on Madden, which is a dumpster fire every year, is a whole nother episode, but we won't get into that.
Yeah. Mark Barron, what did your spirit animal Mike Mayock say about him when he was drafted? His floor is Pro Bowl safety. His ceiling is Pro Bowl safety.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, draft dad Mike Mayock sometimes makes some misses in there, but you know, nobody shoots 100%.
But he did pick Marino.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yes.
Although Dan's last year at Pittsburgh, a lot of people, I think he threw more interceptions than touchdowns his last year at Pitt.
Yeah, he had a wonky last year for sure.
Yeah, it worked out for us. So I don't have any real changes. I get the feeling that it's weird because usually this time of year you see the media and team by team media really going into overdrive with quarterbacks. Uh-huh. And now I feel like we're kind of entering a period where people are starting to hit the brakes on it.
Yeah.
Which can be natural this time of year, especially where was it paralysis by overanalysis?
Yes. This is the point where like, We're in the month of April and people are just like, Yeah, well, he did the whole process really well, but, you know, he tripped walking down the street one day, so I don't know if he has the coordination to be a first-round pick. Like, that's what April is. That's all April is.
His, like, let's talk about Dwayne Haskins, because Dwayne Haskins, after his pro day, left, like, blaze marks in the street, like the time machine in Back to the Future, and I just thought, like, oh, man. This guy is off to the races now. And then now I feel like people are pumping the brakes on him a little bit. And it's like, you know, we noticed that with face pressure, it gets to him. And, it, you know, you'll see it disrupt his timing, disrupt his mechanics, disrupt everything. And they're like, I mean, that's considerable considering how most defenses in the NFL absolutely want to push their interior rushers right down your throat if they can.
Yeah. And I mean, so, like, it's crazy because the conversation's kind of moved, at least within traditional media and draft media, has kind of moved to, like, Dwayne Haskins. It could be more like the third quarterback behind Drew Lock, which, like, I have a relatively even grade on Haskins and Lock. Haskins is a little bit higher. But, like, at the end of the day, Dwayne Haskins has always been the third quarterback behind Kyler Murray, who's the second quarterback, behind nobody who's the first quarterback. That's kind of how this class has been the whole time.
Right.
Where, like, there's no true guy where you're like, this guy is a quarterback where you're going to sign off on, and God forbid he's not a franchise guy, it was worth shooting your shot. Everyone in this class has some sort of questions. There's you know, I mean, I had questions about Sam Darnold last year, but I felt better about Sam Darnold than most of these guys. I'd say he's probably on par with Kyler Murray based on my grades for those two, but... You know, Baker, I had, like, easily when he went number one, I was like, yeah, he's definitely the best quarterback option possible. But he showed it over 4.5 years or whatever in college football. You know, Kyler played one. Dwayne Haskins played one. And then from there, you're going to Drew Lock, who played, I think he played 3.5 years technically after Matty Mock was doing lines of cocaine at Missouri.
How dare you?
I mean... If your quarterback's not doing lines of cocaine, I don't know what they're doing, to be honest. But, like, then you move into those guys that are, like, they played more football, but, like, there's a lot of questions about them. I mean, I have Will Grier over Drew Lock, and I have, like, a really fringe, probably more early second Andy Dalton level, Carr kind of level second round grade on him. And then I have Drew...
Let's talk about Will Grier for a second, because Will Grier is the exception to what we're talking about right now. He is getting a little bit of a boost. And now all of a sudden, after people talking about how they wouldn't take him day three, now it's, well, he might go in the back end.
Yeah, he might
one.
Go to the Pats. Who knows? I mean, like, from the start, I've always said that Will Grier has a good enough NFL arm. I think he drops the ball on deep passes really well into the basket. And at the end of the day, like, he's played probably the most football besides for Ryan Finley, who played for like 12 schools. And then he's a guy that he's faced adversity. You know, he had his issues at Florida, a stupid PED thing where it was like a creatine kind of whatever. And then he transferred. He has a wife. He has a kid. He's become a father. You know, as somebody yourself that's become a father recently, you know, That's a trial and a half to go through, from what I understand. So at the end of the day, like, I just think that he is more life ready, where I think worst case scenario for him, you have a really good, probably top three backup quarterback, where honestly, if you spend a two or a three and have the NFL's best backup quarterback or top three backup quarterback, like, that's fine. Like, keep shooting your shot to get your franchise guy, but, like, not a bad guy to have in your pocket.
No, and speaking of parents and children, it sounds like Will Grier's dad is a pain in the ass. So
aren't they all at this point?
There's that.
Damn millennials.
I guess so. Sports parents. Helicopter sports parents, the absolute worst. The bane of society.
Will Grier's like the least famous Grier child. Do you know that? He has two brothers that are, like, YouTube stars. And so, like... Like, if you look up, like, the Grier family, like, he is the last one you find.
Well, I suspect things are about to work out for him.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
He'll be okay.
Yeah.
You want to be a YouTube guy or do you want to make NFL money? What do you want to do?
There's a lot less CTE being a YouTube guy. I will say that.
Oh, you went there. I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to say that. That's why you're here, though. Somebody's got to be offensive.
Yeah.
Savagery. Savagery department. Zachary speaking. So I think that, I mean, it's kind of just a little bit of a ho-hum week. And I mean, just with the limited amount of time that we have in terms of our social lives right now. Do you want to end on Jets Unis, which debuted officially tonight?
Oh, God.
Get them. Let them have it. Oh, my
God. Like, the problem is like, I don't think they're terrible. I think they're just ripoffs of either Marshall's or Northern Texas uniforms. What I would have liked to have seen is, you know, essentially the basic Tennessee uniforms. If they did the basic University of Tennessee uniforms for the Jets and then use that gray alternate with the green, that would have been perfect. Like, they're not too crazy. They're not too over the top. I think they're just right. But, like, they're just not good. They look like they're some sort of like AAF, like, we folded, here's some leftover uniforms, good luck, guys. But like, the bigger problem is, again, like, I talk about my Jets buddy, and he was saying the other day, he's like, why do people hate the leaked Jets uniforms so much? Like, what's the issue? I was like, well, the problem is Jets fans have been hyping them up so much where, like, I don't remember this much uniform hype talk when the Dolphins were rebranding. Maybe it's just because I'm a Dolphins fan, but, like, I felt like there was not as much, like, oh, my God, new uniforms, what's going on? But I think that speaks to how bland the Jets uniforms have been up to this point.
They were very blah. When we talked about this, when the leak came through, I'm in the minority where I don't hate them. Like, I'm glad they went back to that sort of like 80s, 90s green that they had, because frankly, the old school green that they had, it was almost like a matte finish on your uniform. I realize that doesn't make sense, but that's how it kind of came off, just very like clayish green. I hated it. I didn't think the old school logo was working for them. I'm glad that they kind of went to a variation on, like I said, like that 80s and 90s look. With like the actual like the word mark with I don't think they have like the little jet on there. Maybe they do. I haven't seen that.
I don't think so.
So it's like the word mark without
it. Yeah.
And then the one thing you brought up, which I totally agree with though, is like that rando stripe.
Yeah, I hate that. Hate that.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not gonna kill them for it just because I do think it's an improvement. Their look before was just so boring.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like when the Dolphins, sometimes simple changes are best. Look at how much better their uniforms got when they just took out that stupid dark blue. Yep.
Yeah.
That marine blue or whatever it's called. I mean, once they tossed that, their uniform went to, in my opinion, is pretty much a 10.
Yeah.
I mean, people can say they want the throwbacks and that's fine. I get that because that is a beautiful uniform. But in terms of like current uniforms, just the pure aqua and orange, in my opinion, tough to beat. That's a great color scheme.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think they're actually, did you see they're bringing in a new alternate this year? And I think it's going to be the white throwback uniform, which I really like the old white uniforms in the first place.
Yeah, I always preferred the white to the aqua in terms of the old school look.
The old school, especially the, like, the modern aqua old school throwback just feels heavy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, just that heavy, like, since they moved from that like teal to that lighter Crest toothpaste teal, it just feels so heavy, especially for Miami and being a million degrees and humid all the time. I will say, if they ever do an alternate like the city uniforms that they do for the NBA, I would love like a night game, like charcoal gray base uniform with the neon pink and blue. I think that'd be a really cool uniform just for like a one and done.
Kind of like a variation on what the Miami Heat did with like the Miami Vice colors.
Yeah, the Miami Vice, Miami Knights kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that or I'd love to see them do something based on kind of like that Cuban Havana salsa heritage kind of thing. I just wish the NFL was at least remotely a notch more fun. But that probably will never happen.
I was going to say, the NBA is plenty fun right now. The only thing that's killing them, in my opinion, is the fact that they're on ABC and they're affiliated with ESPN. Total trash. Like, yeah, they should just find a way to get all their games on TNT, because TNT is so much better in how they show.
Which is so weird, because like, we're so used to traditional media outlets for professional sports, right? CBS, NBC, Fox, like, and then like TNT is just kind of always held it down for the NBA, and they've done a really good job.
Yeah, and TBS does a good job for baseball. Go figure.
Yeah.
You know, I maybe I'm biased, and I know you and I have talked about this off air and probably on air too. The NBA just got a lot less fun when it left NBC. I thought NBC just did it right. And I understand, like, you can't have the same studio teams and announcers forever.
Yeah.
But their game, because, I mean, they essentially had it for a little over a decade, and it was just on point every year. It was so good. Even when the finals weren't good, it was, like, just incredibly entertaining. ABC doesn't get it, in my opinion.
Nope.
So when you're talking about football, I can take or leave Fox and CBS. I don't really care. I know NBC is trying to make a bid to get back in on football. I remember reading about that. And then right now NBC has his plate full because they've got hockey too. And I remember when hockey was on ESPN and ABC, like, they pretty much had the thing going that the NBA currently has. And the funny thing is, hockey on ESPN wasn't bad. Hockey on ABC was pretty damn dry, though. So, I mean, like, you definitely, even though you're talking about, like, parent companies here, or companies under the same umbrella, essentially, I thought that there was a little bit more of an improvement when you watch on ESPN. And they had Gary Thorne, who just had a great voice for that. I don't want to get too far away from that, though. The last thing we'll talk about, what do you think of the draft hat?
I think the Dolphins draft hat is fine.
I think it's
nice. Fine. At first, I thought it was waves on the side, but then I realized it was like pom-poms. And supposedly they're all based off of the state flag and stuff, but some of them are not even close to state flags.
No, some of them are just straight up hideous.
My favorite ones are the Giants and Jets ones, because they had a real struggle to be like, well, they play in New Jersey, but they're New York teams, so what do we do? And so they just passed on those altogether.
Yeah. And I didn't even see the Jets one yet, because when I was looking at the list of them, there were only 31 available because they withheld it to coincide with the uniform drop. So
yeah, and being in Baltimore, I think they really, really whiffed on the Ravens one too, because like, as somebody that's recently moved to Baltimore within the past 6 months, like, that Baltimore flag and that pattern is everywhere. And they just didn't even do anything for the hat. They just kind of two-toned it, and that was it.
It's like a random stripe, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like a side, weird two-tone kind of, who knows.
Some of the hats I don't understand. Like, I think the Green Bay one is just straight-up boring.
The Kansas City one, I don't get the Kansas City one. Maybe I just don't know their flag well enough. It's got these like weird lines that arch together.
It's like a tribal tat or something.
Yeah.
That's what I thought when I saw it.
And then what else? The Cardinals one with the rising sun kind of thing. I know that's Arizona's flag, but like, definitely think more like World War II Japan when it comes to that.
Really? Because I mean, I have to say, like, I saw people killing that one, and I love the state flag that they have, like the hockey team, the Arizona Coyotes, or the Yotes, if you will, if you're a fan of that team. Like, they have the shoulder patch that has like the, I think it says ARZ or AZ, and then it has like the sun coming out.
No,
of it.
I think it's good. I just associate that look with another thing, because I was big into history and stuff growing up, so that's just a thing on my end there.
I associate it with all the custom
guitars.
the custom guitars in the 80s. Yep. That had, and a lot of them went with the Japanese graphics and everything. And a lot of my favorite players actually from that era had, and you just see like a rising sun coming out, and it would be like the custom body work on it.
I think the Texans one is pretty good. That's with the Texas flag is that pretty four checkered red, white, and blue kind of thing. So that one's pretty good. That's pretty spot on.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's pull the plug.
All right.
This is good. This is efficient. This is one of the more efficient shows we did. Yeah, 30 and change. So thanks everyone for tuning in. Hopefully we entertained you for a little bit. If not, we'll try better next time and probably fail then too, but we'll promise to do it the next time after that. So we just ask that you stay with us for the long term and allow us to continually disappoint you. For Zach, my name is Keith. Thanks for hanging out. We'll do this again soon. Take care.